All right, Alexander, we need to revisit what's going on in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And you sent me a message earlier today, and you noted that MBS, mm-hmm. is undergoing another purge of top officials in the government, competitors, enemies, family. What's going on in Saudi Arabia?
Well, he's now gone after the army. He's purged six generals. He's accused them of corruption. He sacked them. One of them apparently is the defense minister. Two of them are Saudi princes, in other words, members of the royal family. Now, if he sacked them and accused them of corruption, it means, but as night follows day, that he's going to arrest them. So it's a purge, as you rightly said, of high people at the top of the military. Apparently, there's, you know, we can be sure that if six generals have been sacked, there's all sorts of other people who are being sacked also. Now, the story that's being put about is that they've been sacked because of their failures in the Yemen war. But of course, with a situation such as we have in Saudi Arabia, it also looks, frankly, as if the situation there is extremely tense. And it's quite possible that we also have a situation where he's again acted to prevent a coup, because that's the most likely explanation I would have thought for something like this.
What's the situation now in Saudi Arabia? Do you know, do you have any updates? How have they undergone any difficulties with the CV? Is their economy in good shape, in bad shape? I mean, we haven't heard anything in so long other than these purges, which seem to happen every couple of months. I mean,
yes,
the floating of Aramco. We don't even, do you have any update on that as well? Or
well, that was tried at the start of this year. It didn't, I mean, it was only a partial, very partial float. It didn't succeed. It didn't come out, didn't do very well. And it only happened. They were only able to sell the shares by arm twisting Saudis to buy them. So, I mean, it didn't turn out hugely well. Then, of course, there was the oil war that Mohammed bin Salman launched in March. And that was a disaster. And we know that he had to row back and change course there. Now, what's happened is, as I understand it, the economy isn't doing at all well. It's contracting because, of course, the oil price has fallen. I mean, it rose, but it's never risen to anything like the level it was back before, the start of the year. So it's fallen back. So he's got far less money coming in. He still has huge expenditures. And the CV crisis is always difficult to know exactly what's going on in Saudi Arabia. But one gets the impression that it wasn't particularly well run and that, you know, there was a lot of trouble with CV. And he's now apparently negotiating with the Russians for this famous vaccine to be tried out there. So he doesn't look like it's a very good situation. But on top of that, of course, the economy isn't good. The CV situation is good, but the war in Yemen especially has not been going well. Apparently, the Yemenis have been winning, are continuing to gain ground. There continue to be strikes into Saudi Arabia, and one gets the sense a lot of people in Saudi Arabia itself are unhappy. And the reports that we had about this latest purge is that it was connected to dissatisfaction within the Saudi elite at the thought that he will succeed the king. So again, he's acted to try to preempt, so we're told, opposition to his succession. So that seems to be the most likely explanation, because I have to say, frankly, I don't take these claims of corruption very seriously. Saudi Arabia, you can't even talk about corruption in Saudi Arabia as you do in other countries, because the entire system is based on the assumption that the royal family owns the country and owns its wealth. So how can you talk about corruption within the royal family there?
Yeah, if he's going after the military, I think it's an obvious signal that he's worried about some sort of coup, because You know, without the military, you're never going to, obviously, you're never going to get a successful coup. So,
well, exactly. And in a country like Saudi Arabia, of course, I mean, that's an even bigger priority. So it looks like he's extremely, the situation is tense. In fact, there was a report from the Russian news agency, TASS, which spoke of a very tense situation in the country. And that seems to be consistent with what we've just seen. Saudi Arabia is a strange place. Everything can look from the outside as if it's very quiet and very calm. And then suddenly you wake up one day and you find that there's been a dramatic change and a shifting of the pieces. And this could very well be a sign that things are deteriorating. Of course, we don't know the whole story because it's very difficult to know at any point in time what is going on within the Saudi court. But at the moment, it looks as if MBS's position once again is looking as if it's coming under increasing challenge.
What is the oil price that Saudi Arabia needs once again to balance the budget?
It would need, I've been told it would really need around $80 a barrel.
And now it's about 30, 35.
It's about 40.
40. Okay.
So, I mean, it's far below whatever level it is needed. Because bear in mind, the Saudis have a fixed exchange rate to the dollar. So they're not able to do what the Russians do, which is, you know, if the oil price falls, let the ruble, which is what the Russians do, take the slack by letting the ruble also fall also against the dollar. The Saudis don't have that kind of flexibility because they don't run a real economy. I mean, you know, it isn't in any sense a conventional country. And so he has a very big budget. He has a massive deficit. He's got a big budget deficit. He's got a big trade deficit. The oil price is low. The military situation in Yemen is going badly. And what does he do? He sacks generals, which is a sign that things are not good in the military either.
What does it mean for the petrodollar if MBS does go? I mean, the U.S., I'm sure the U.S. will move in to stabilize things, correct?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, Saudi Arabia is far too important a country for the United States to walk away from. I mean, it's a critically important country. But bearing something in mind, I mean, if the regime in Saudi Arabia were to disintegrate, you know, it wouldn't become a democracy. That's not what Saudi Arabia is likely to become. I mean, there would be a real risk that organizations like Al Qaeda and ISIS would emerge from the rubble and try to gain control there. Now, over and above the critically important role that Saudi Arabia plays in the international oil market, alongside the US and Russia, it is the world's third biggest producer of oil. The United States simply cannot afford a situation. In fact, the world cannot afford a situation where Islamist militant groups, terrorist groups, gain control in a region like that, where Islam's holy cities, Mecca and Medina, are located. I mean, it's just, it's the stuff of nightmares. So I think the US would intervene, and I would intervene very quickly. And of course, the other worry they would have is that Iran might fill the gap and also try to intervene too. But I don't think the entire Saudi regime is tottering. I think what we're looking at the moment is not the entire collapse of MBS. The regime. It's MBS himself. MBS falls, there will be a reshuffling of the pack. Someone else will take over, but the US will be involved and they will be negotiating and they will be brokering whoever takes over. And that's going to be the case. Absolutely. I don't have any doubt about it at all.
They will fill that void very, very quickly. MBS's departure, and I don't think MBS will be very, very missed.
No, not at all. Not on any part. I mean, certainly not in Saudi Arabia. I mean, he had his fans when he started. I think he persuaded a lot of younger people in Saudi Arabia that, you know, he was the great reformer. I think a lot of people in the West thought that he might be the person to, you know, make Saudi Arabia a magnet for investment and all that. I don't think anybody has any illusions about him anymore. I think that's all gone. And all that's left at the moment is that he's got still got money, and he's still got the backing of the king, his father, and he's still got the security forces, the intelligence services and the secret police working on side. But I think other than that, he's not really got very much support left.
All right, Alexander Barkers, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that red subscribe button. Also, drop us a comment down below. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps out this small but growing channel. And please go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise. We got new mugs, shirts.
We've got new mugs. We've got new mugs. This is a mug. We're a magic mug with the flag of the US there, but we've got lots of other magic mugs. We've got magic mugs. This one's got the flag of Britain. You can see what amazing magic mug that is with the British flag. And this is Australia. And we've also got smaller ones. And this is a smaller magic mug, perfect for cups of tea, perhaps, or smaller cups of tea, really strong Chinese tea, Kimun tea, for example. And that's Greece. And that's Ireland that Alex is holding. But he's actually got, if you look carefully, you will see it's an enameled mug. It's an enameled mug like this one, which is England. And they are wonderful mugs, also with national flags. And they're the perfect mugs to go out, as I was recently doing, in the hills and lakes and forests of the Peak District in England. You have them with you, and you can easily refill your water and drink your water or your tea or your coffee. And they're the perfect things for outdoors. They're amazing, wonderful mugs. And as Alex rightly says, you've got all sorts of other wonderful things. We've got more shirts coming. Alex has got shirts with various countries. I think you have a shirt with a country on, and it is in fact Canada, if my eyes tell me rightly. So you can see you've got wonderful shirts. And we've also got hats. We've got hats with trucker's hats and baseball caps and embroidered hats. And we've, of course, got an amazing gallery of ebooks, which is increasing and improving all the time. So you can come to our shop. You can support our small channel. You can make it bigger and better than it already is. And you can be the owner of these wonderful things. So Alex will quickly remind you how to do that.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Merkers, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.